So good evening, everyone. So this is my 10 years that we have my bhikkhuni ordination. Bhikkhuni is a fully ordained nuns, because in this Theravada tradition, we don't have fully ordained bhikkhuni in these traditions. So it happened 10 years ago. There's the first four bhikkhunis, the ordained in Perth, that causes Ajahn Brahm lots of problem, that he's been excommunicated. He's been, you know, excommunicated, isn't it, from his own the monastery that he's ordained. And it's such a controversial and issue, you know, and people talking about it, and then there are lots of speculations. And I remember some people don't even know who I am, and my friends and all my friends, Dharma friends, and then they listen all this gossip, and then all the criticism said that, oh, these nuns, they're just ones, they're status, they're just, you know, being big ego, you know, and all this. And then lots of people, they just don't understand why we decided to ordain, why we do that. Most people think that we're just a feminist, that we want to fight for equality, fight for, you know. Actually, we are not fighting for anything at all, you know. I remember early days, you know, before I ordained, actually I was looking for a place to ordain. And I went to Thailand, I can't find any place, you know, especially in these traditions. Mahayana, they have fully ordained bhikkhuni. But in these traditions, you know, and you can't find, even they have some fully ordained, but normally they don't really have a place to train. They just go to other places. They go to some of them go to Taiwan and go to Korea ordained, and then they don't have a monastery as such, you know, that's the training as a monk, you know, the way the monk train. So then I've been looking for that, and then I found Dhammasara that time, and I joined Dhammasara 2002. And then in 2009, 10 years ago, and there was these opportunities arises that we'd be able to ordain as a fully ordained nun bhikkhuni. Then of course that time was a lot of pressure, but the reason why I decided to ordain as a bhikkhuni is because there is the opportunity, you know. It's not that I want to fight for equality, I want to be same, you know. It's not come from the ego, you know. It's come from the opportunities that we be able to practice, and especially have a place to be able to uphold all the precepts, we be able to practice and keep the precepts. It's not that we want to, you know, want to fight for equality. So actually, a lot of people, they tend to mix up equality and fairness, you know. Equality is that, you know, you're treating everybody the same, and we don't make everybody the same, isn't it? Actually, equality is giving people the opportunities, you know, the same opportunities to be successful, you know. So it's okay, you know, we can never be the same, you know. We don't try to be the same, we don't fight for equality, it's not because about that, you know. We just wanted to be given the opportunities. It's just like in olden days, you know, women are not allowed, the women were not allowed to go to school, isn't it? So I remember my parents, my mom, she never go to school, she can't even write her name. Because she's a woman, and because woman you will get married, you'll bear children, and this is your job, you know, and you don't have to earn money. So only the same man, the family, there was the man will go to school, woman will not go to school. Doesn't mean that my mother is stupid, isn't it? And actually, in fact, my mother is very wise and very smart. She's even wiser than my father. My father more knowledgeable. He went to school, you know. So that's why sometimes we just need to be given the opportunities, because we won't be given the opportunities to do that. You know, and I remember when the Buddha's aunts and asking for the bhikkhuni ordination, when he asked the Buddha request for the bhikkhuni ordination, the Buddha's rejected. And Ananda went to ask the Buddha's. He said, if female being given the same opportunities and the practice like the monk, do they still get enlightened? The Buddha said, yes. Then they said, why? You know, you're not, you know, you reject, but you don't allow, you know, your auntie to become a bhikkhuni. But I think, of course, I can understand that time, you know, that society, you know, women is not someone, you know, it's not like, you know, you have to protect it. When you're not married, you have to protect it by a father, you have to have a male, you know, to protect, you know, like, you know, there's that time that is the society as such. And it's not easy to become a nun, like you wander off, you know. That's why we have many of the rules, and people might think that, you know, that because some of the rules, like the monks have to look after the nuns, you know, have to teach the nuns, you know, because that time, usually that times that society is that males will have the opportunities to study, you know, to have education, but not for female. So that's why some of the rules is not to make us like second class, or the bhikkhuni become second class. It's just like some of the rules that like the monks have to teach the nuns, it's just that they're like a big brother looking after their little sisters. You know, there's some of the rules there. And that's why the Buddha's at the beginning, he rejected. Then, of course, and after Ananda have spoke to him and said, you know, please, you know, since women, if they were given the opportunities, they too can get enlightened, you know. So why not to allow women to go forth and you know, to ordain as a fully ordained nun, as a bhikkhuni. And that's why that was happening. So that's why today I was talking about equality, because like sometimes it's not come from that we try to fight for that. We are the same, we are better, we are not competing. Like sometimes sometimes many people come to me and said to me, oh, you know, they started to compare Dhammasara with Bodhiyana. Oh, the monks do this, the monks do that, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? Actually, basically, Bodhiyana and Dhammasara, actually, we are quite, overall, the setting, overall, the way we practice, we are similar. But just because that we are different gender, you know, we are, you know, male and female, they're not the same, isn't it? So there's some of the things that our strength and the monk's strength and is different, you know. The thing that the monk's good at, we are not good at that, you know. The things that we're good at, you know, they're not good at that. So they say sometimes we cannot run the monastery exactly the man run, isn't it? We have our own way to run to suit us, you know. So we not try to make it, and sometimes people don't understand, oh, the monks will say, why do you do that? But they don't understand that sometimes we are just different. So sometimes it's important that we be able to recognize, you know, recognize and acknowledge, respect, you know, accept the differences. It's okay that we're different. And I see in many spiritual leaders that they try to be politically correct, you know, that they say all religions are the same, but not all the same, isn't it? We just have some common ground, but not all the same. So, and then equality is not that we try to make everybody the same. It's okay that we're different, you know. So it's just that the fairness is just that given, you know, the same opportunities to succeed despite of their differences. You know, it's okay. We respect that. We don't try to impose our ideas. We don't try to, you know, force someone to accept our views, you know, and then it's not fairness, you know. Fairness is just give what people needs to be successful. what their needs, because since we are different, our needs is different, isn't it? Our needs is different. So sometimes treating everybody the same doesn't mean that it's fair. Fairness is just that giving them what's their need, what they deserve, you know. And that's why sometimes we tend to impose our ideas on others. We try to make everybody the same. If other people don't same as me, don't have the same view as me, then there must be something wrong with them because they don't have the same views, you know. So I remember there was a guy, you know, with taking his he went to the bar with his email, a big bird, you know. Then, and the first time they went in, they called the waitress, then they order a burger, so, and a Coke, and then he asked the waitress how much is that. Then he said $9.98. So he was from he put his hand into his pocket and he gave him $9.98, and then the next day he went there again, he ordered the same thing. Then he ordered a burger and a Coke, and normally whenever he ordered that, he asked the email, he said, what do you want to eat, and the email said the same. Then the next time for a few days they've been going there, you know, and then he asked us, they ordered the same thing, and the email said the same. And then one evening they went there again. Then they said, okay, today I want something different. I want to order a steak, some baked potatoes, and some wine, you know. And then, okay, the waitress, you know, so gave him serve him with the food, and he said, how much? He said, oh, it's $35.50. Five, you know. So from his pocket, he put out exactly the amount of money and gave it to the waitress. And then the waitress cannot hold his curiosity anymore. He said, I was really wondering why each time you be able to, you always have the same, you know, that the amount of money, that whatever amount of money, you know, I asked, you know, you can give me. How can you do that? He said, because some years ago, when I went to the attic, I cleaned my attic, and there was a genius. Then he said, grants him two wishes. He said, so my first wish was that I always have enough money, you know, rather than I ask for $1 million or $1 billion, eventually you run out. But you always have money, pay whatever you need, you want. So then he said, oh, very smart, you know, you will never run out of money, you know. Then what was the second wish? Then he sighed, my second wish was a chick with a long leg always agree with what I said. So they say sometimes we make other people that you agree with me. Sometimes we get upset with other people if you don't agree with me. We want other people to agree with us, isn't it? To say, yes, we are right, you know. And someone that don't agree with us, we think that they are wrong, you know. And if we try to make everybody the same, no, we are not the same. It's to be able to recognize that we are not the same. You know, not to make everybody, and especially we tend to impose our ideas on others, and we make other people wrong. And sorry, just have my throat. It's just a bit. Yeah, this is how. And we're unable to really recognize that it's okay that we're different, we respect the differences, you know. Like if different religion is okay, we do share the common, we have the common ground, isn't it? Like generosity, kindness, compassion, you know, being a morality, this is the common ground we share. So we respect others, we don't make other people wrong, you know. Then that's why this is how sometimes that. Like, and then we cause a lot of suffering because we got upset if people don't agree with us. We think that they are wrong, I'm right, you know. And that's why it's not to try to make other people the same. Imagine everybody the same, how boring the world. Isn't it? So to embrace the differences as unique. Each one of us is unique, isn't it? Like, you know, like an orchestra, you have different instruments. You know, imagine you have only one type of instrument. You think you have the music will be beautiful? No, isn't it? You will not have this beautiful music sound, isn't it? You have a different, but when we work together harmoniously, you have just such amazing, beautiful, you know, sound. Work together, it's okay that we are different, you know. We acknowledge that, you know, it's to accept that, you know, and that this is, you know, it's okay. And but sometimes we hold on to a review and we think that it's not fair. Why, you know, this happened to that person and not happened to us? And as a Buddhist, we believe in karma. Sometimes it's also, you know, actually it's fair, isn't it? Because things happen according to causes and condition. Sometimes we think that, you know, why this thing happened to me, and we don't contemplate, we don't investigate, we don't reflect on why we are experiencing what we are experiencing now, what leading up to that. We don't investigate, you don't find out the cause. We just look at the results, you know, and then we just wanting the results that we want without being able to investigate, put in the causes, you know. So that's why, according to, you know, that the law of karma, things happen according to causes and condition. It's happened. What we are now is what we have been, and what we will be is what we are now. So that's what now is important. So that's why sometimes we will blame that, you know, why it's unfair, this thing happened to me, you know. And sometimes, you know, I remember some years ago, one of our supporters said she's a social worker. And these social workers, and she told me that, you know, like sometimes so difficult for her, she's, you know, a lot of difficulties, and then she tried to help. And sometimes people blame her for not being able to help her because they said that I don't care, you know. If you can't solve my problem, it's your problem. And they don't take responsibility and look at why, you know. Why we have this problem, why you have this domestic violence, because of drinks, because of drugs, you know, and then they have all this crisis and things like that. And then they think that is that you have to solve my problem. Now I'm having problem and this is your job because you are social workers. You should solve my problem. If you can't solve my problems, is that your problem? And people unable to take responsibility, they look at why, you know, it's coming to that. And then we just think that it's not fair. What happened to me, you know? And actually, sometimes it's fair because it's according to causes and condition. Things happen is not with, you know, this is, it's not happen like out of nowhere. That is, you know, leading up to why this happened, you know. And that's why sometimes we think that unfair, and then we like to compare, you know. And then sometimes what our idea of what we call fairness, what is fair, sometimes it's also very subjective, isn't it? If the person that we like, I can tell you, you think that they deserve the whole world. If the person that we don't like, we think that they deserve nothing. Isn't it? They don't deserve anything at all, you know? It's also subjective, you know? It's just our perception, how we perceive, you know? How we perceive things, you know? And because, when there is a contact, feeling arises, you know? Like sometimes, you know, we meet some people and somehow, you know, the contacts, and then we like the person. And then we think that this person make me happy, this person is the source of the happiness. Actually, it's just this how the person make us feel, you know. And then we started to, we have our perception, and this is good, this is happy, and we try to identify with the experience, identify with the object, and this bring me happiness, this is good or this is bad. And this is how we perceive, you think. And then what we perceive, you know, actually we are not perceiving purely. It's already perverted by our likes and dislikes. And then we're thinking about it, you know, it's just like the Buddha said, you know, and then Because we create our own world through our thoughts. When thoughts arises, manifest into words. And from words, we manifest into action. And we repeatedly doing the same action, you harden into a habit. Then we become a habit, and that develop the view. We have fixed views, how we view people, how we think things should be. You know, like some people have very fixed views, like men should do this, women should do this, you know. Like have very fixed views. Like for example, like most people that accepted, yes, woman is okay for women to become a housewife. But if a man become a house husband, then people thinking that it's not right, isn't it? But what's wrong with that? But because we've been conditioned, we've been told that you should do this, you should do that, men should do that, women should do that. Then when you do something, you know, outside the box, when you know, then people think that you are not right, you are wrong, you know. Actually, it's nothing wrong, isn't it? Like, I know, sometimes people have very strong views, like, you know, like some of the job, you know, is only women job, and some of the job is only men can do it. But some job, yes, like for example, a tractor driver or a truck driver, some women can do it. But even some men can do job like knitting, sewing, you know. But nothing wrong, men doing that, isn't it? But because of we have a fixed idea, because we've been, we have that, because of our contact, give rise to feelings, give rise to likes and dislikes, and with the perception of, you know, we poured by likes and dislikes, and we develop the views, how we view things. And then we keep reinforcing that each time, you know, and it becomes so ingrained, then we have a fixed views that how things should be. And then we try to impose our ideas on others, and if other people not doing what we think they should be doing, we judge them, we think there's something wrong with them, we think that it's weird, you know, we think that, oh, you know, and some people think that, you know, oh, you know, being a housewife, you are not working, but actually housewife lots of work. You know, I'd rather to go out to work than to stay at home, you know. Lots of work, you know, housewife, you know. And then some people think that, oh, you're housewife, you're not working. No, housewife, lots of work. And sometimes we contribute, it's okay. Sometimes that maybe, you know, the husband want to become, to look after the children at home, want to do house. The wife, you know, go out to earn money, it's okay. Because both are contributing towards the family, it doesn't matter who whether to go out to earn money or who stay back. But they're both contributing. But because of our fixed views, you know, we think that should be like that, you know. Or, you know, like for example, like, I know even in for a child, like Asian, you know, they have a very fixed views that, you know, like if you go dating, men should pay. If the men don't pay, you know, the bills, they are stingy. Then you better don't find such a husband because they're too stingy, you know. And then sometimes what we think that is right, and what we think that is equal or fair, actually is also subjective, and also sometimes we've been selective. We select what suits us, isn't it? Whatever suits us, we think that is fair. You know, the things that doesn't suit us is not fair, isn't it? This is how, and we think that, oh yeah, you know, and we think that is fair, that if a man should earn so much money. The way some people judge someone, whether a woman or a man, that, you know, how to be a successful, you know. So normally people judge a man that how much money they can earn, they consider to be successful, isn't it? This is how they judge, you know. This is how, because we've been conditioned, we have the fixed views that, you know, a successful man is one that can earn more than his wife can spend. So a successful woman is one that can find such a man, you know. that this is how we think that it's okay, it's fair, you know, because we've been told that this is how it is. But no, it's okay. I mean, we all contribute. We all, you know, whoever can contribute towards the family, you know, and it's fine, you know. It's not that, you know, you have to be that way, you know. And I remember many, many years ago, someone told me, one of the monk, after he ordained and he learned, you know, because we do things ourselves, so he started to, he's doing a lot of knitting. He's knitting his own beanie and gloves and socks, you know. And when he went back to visit his family and he doing the knitting, his family so upset with him, said, how can you do that as a man you knit? You know, and what's wrong with that, isn't it? Nothing wrong, but because you have the fixed view, you think that it's wrong. Actually, it's not wrong. It's just that it's not the norm, isn't it? We think that everybody do that, then it's normal. If you don't do the way as everybody does, it's abnormal. Then we try to judge and, you know, we think that the person is weird, you know. It's not. It's just that we've been conditioned, we've been told since when we were young. And this is right, this is not right, you know. They say sometimes we ask ourselves what we think that is fair. Actually, it's also quite subjective. Depends on what suits us, you know. Very selective, isn't it? So things suit us, we think that it's fair. Doesn't suit us, it's not fair, you know. So they say sometimes we people to look at the, you know, that what is truly fair. You know, I know sometimes people got very upset with others when they think that other people is not fair. So then it's what the Buddha said, like, you know, it's because of you lock into your views, you know, your views and opinions that you, this is, even though the views is what your view is, maybe something that is wholesome. But just because of you hold on to your views and leads you to anger, unwholesome state of mind, then it's become wrong view. So when we set right views is right in the context and not you are right, I'm wrong. Right in the context that leads us to happiness, leads us to freedom. If anything that leads us to suffering, unwholesome state of mind, that whatever view is that, even though something that is wholesome, something is good, like keeping precept, being kind, being, you know, but we start to judge others, we start to get upset with others, we think others people not being fair, not being kind, you know, then actually that's become wrong view, you know. So that's why sometimes that is a problem. Yeah, you know, then we say, oh, the person not fair, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's come from our jealousy as well. We tend to compare, we think that why that person can get what the person deserves. And I should deserve that too because I'm also as good, you know. And that is compared rather than you develop the quality of, you know, rejoice in the good fortune of others. You go, oh, sadhu, sadhu, so happy. I'm happy for you. Rather than thinking that, because, and then, you know, jealousy arises, thinking that person shouldn't deserve that because, you know, I'm also as good, why I can't deserve that, you know. But you have the joy, you know, the happiness, you know. That's why sometimes we if we be able to acknowledge that and then to recognize, acknowledge and respect and accept the differences, because then we be able to really have, like the Buddha, he's very wise. He give differentiative instruction to his disciples because he addressed to a different audience. He give different instruction. But sometimes they said people start to argue, you know, the Buddha said that, you know, the Buddha said this, you know. For example, if someone being very slack, you know, and then of course you will say that, okay, you have to put in effort, you have to arouse energy, you know. And, you know, you need to be more vigilant, you know. But if someone already so tight, and then you ask the person, okay, you put in effort, you know. So it's just like Achan Cha says, someone go more to the right, on the right there is a drain, you ask the person go to the left. And the person too much to the left, you ask the person to go to the right. But people start to argue with that, you know. The Buddha said this, the Buddha said that, you know. But actually, because each time he addressed to a different audience, actually, that audience have this problem. So that's why he will speak this way. And another audience that need a different instruction, isn't it? Because we are different. The needs is different. So that's why we have to look at that. Like I know sometimes people misrepresent what I said. I remember once I said to someone that, you know, the person said, I have lots of anger. And then I said that the anger is also come from your craving or desires. The same intensity, if you the same intensity of your craving with your anger. So if you crave so much, the intensity of your anger is the same. And then other people misunderstand that, oh, now I'm not angry, that means I have no craving. I didn't say that, I didn't mean that. I'm just that you, when you measure your intensity of your anger, actually is the same as your craving. But doesn't mean that this moment you have no anger, doesn't mean that you have no craving. Because sometimes it's the condition is not there, you know, so no one press a button, so everything goes on well and smooth, it just don't flare up. It doesn't mean that you have no craving, isn't it? It's just the condition is not there. It's just that it's not no one press a button, you know, the bomb haven't been lit, you know, then it's okay. You know, doesn't mean that you don't have, but it's a different things, you know, but sometimes people tend to take things from a different context, you know, the same words they put in a different context, then it means different. So that's why sometimes we, to a different audience, this is what they need. You see, the teaching also, we have to have a differentiative instruction. We give then people say, oh, why you said to this person, you know, sometimes they say, why the Buddha said to address to the audience, you know, in this way, they will address to another audience in another way. Because they have different needs. They are different. We're all different. So we the things that we need is different, isn't it? But sometimes because our mind is all fixed, you know, like nowadays, like we tend to judge someone because of whether they are good or not. By, for example, like now in school, you know, if they don't do well in the exam, that means they're no good. They're stupid, you know. We use that particular exam, you know, to judge that person. Is just like Albert Einstein said, how people tend to judge, you know, like a fish, whether the ability how to climb tree. If they can't climb tree, that means they are stupid. It's not that, it's just that we are different, isn't it? Some people are really good at this and some people were good at that. You know, it's fine, you know. It doesn't mean that we don't judge someone just because they can't do this. And just doesn't mean that the person don't do well in the exam. They are stupid. It's just that we have different strength. We have different, you know. That's why sometimes it's important that we know our strength. To know where is our strength. To uncover that and develop our own talent. Each one of us. That's why Albert Einstein said, we all are genius. We all. You know, it's just that we have our strength, but sometimes we don't know where is our strength. So it's okay that sometimes we think that something wrong with us, we have to be like another person. We have to be exactly like other people. No, we don't have to. It's okay that we are different because we've been conditioned in a different way and then we've been told. But sometimes it's important that we don't lock in into our fixed views. So when we have the fixed views, we not be able to think outside the box, you know. We just think that that's it. Things should be like that, shouldn't be like this, you know. You know, everybody have to do the same thing. If you do something that, you know, most people does, and then you think that they are not right, you know, because this is how we develop the fixed views, you know, come from our when there's a context, and then feeling arises, you know, and then followed by, you know, the thoughts, you know, how we develop our thoughts, and then we deliver a certain habitual pattern, how we think, see things, how we view things. And then we keep reinforce that, and it becomes so ingrained and so solid. You know, I remember many years ago, it's not a makeup story, it's a true story the person shared with us. And this person believed that someone that she believed that already passed away, and she been doing metta, sending loving kindness to this person, and she said that she can feel that person that needed the loving kindness. She feel the being is there. She very strong feelings, and she feel the energy. She feel that, and then after a few years, she discovered that the person still alive. But sometimes this is how we keep reinforced. You know, sometimes like, sometimes like one of the nuns, oh, I got a tick bite, and then you started to feel itchy, isn't it? And then the more you think about it, you start to, yeah, sure, I'm having tick bites, Sometimes this is how the Buddha said, you reinforce that repeatedly, doing the same thing, the same action, you keep thinking about it, you become a habit, and you see what you want to see. This is how the Buddha said, with our thoughts, we create our own world. They said sometimes, don't believe what you think that is fair, Sometimes our fairness is also not fair. It's also very subjective and very selective. We select what suits us, isn't it? Things suit us, then we think that it's fair. Things doesn't suit us, it's not fair, It's all come from me and mine, isn't it? So that's why sometimes we don't judge others. It's okay, If other people have, that whatever they deserve, we just develop the quality. Mudita, rejoice in the good fortune of others. We feel happy for you. So that's why sometimes a lot of people have misunderstanding, and then they got so angry. Some people think that it's not fair, How come this person got this? Sometimes it's very difficult to be really make it exactly the same, because everybody different. It's just like in our monastery, sometimes I have to schedule, the work for the nun. But some nun can do certain jobs, some nun can't do certain jobs. And some nuns very strong, they get to do all the outside jobs, Then people might say that it's unfair, I have to do all this hard work. But if you have a good attitude, you think that, wow, isn't it? That I be able to do that, Rather thinking that, that's what I used to tell them, rather thinking that, that why I have to do that, because that means you are healthy, you are strong, isn't it? Who want to be sick? Who want to be sick that can't do this, can't do that? People rather to be able to do that, to be sick, unable to do, isn't it? To rather just like, it's a blessing that, oh, I can do that, I can contribute, I can give, And because it's very difficult, because sometimes some of the job, like some people can do this, some people can't do that. Like some people good at paperwork, they have no strength, they can't lift things, it's too heavy for them. Then I have to put them doing job that is light, And then that's why this is according to the individual ability and the capability. You cannot force someone, that if their strength is not there, you force them to do that. Like someone, the back is not so good, they have no strength to lift heavy things. If I force them to do that, they will break their back and cost more money to fix, I have to go to physio every week, So that's why sometimes it's quite a difficult job. And I try my very best to be really fair, but I can only do my best, and it's not going to be perfect, But sometimes we just always go back to ourselves. We can only do what we can, But we don't judge others and complaining that it's unfair. But if according to the Buddha's teaching, things is fair because it's happened according to causes and condition. But we think that it's unfair because it doesn't, it doesn't benefit us. We think that, then we think that it's not fair. So if we get what we want, what we need, we think that it benefits us, then we think that it's fair, isn't it? We think that other people selfish. Each one of us is selfish. We just acknowledge that, isn't it? That's why we don't try to change others' people, thinking that other people is wrong. It's okay the way the person is. Don't try to change others. Yeah, we are all, in fact, selfish, So we think other people selfish. We ourselves are also selfish, So because we also thinking in terms of our own interest. So that's why sometimes, I know, sometimes it gives rise to a lot of argument and quarrel because people think that they're being treated unfairly, you know. But, you know, sometimes you look at it, we ask ourselves, we investigate, we ask ourselves, you know. So what we think that is fair, what is really fairness, you know. Am I not selective? Is it that I'm just like, you know, is it my what I think that is fair, whether it's being subjective as well, you know, subject to, you know, per whatever our likes and dislike, things that we like, things happen to us, you know, that if our is if our, of our interest, then we think that is fair. If not of our interest, we think that is unfair. And then that is also not fairness at all, you know. There's that sometimes, you know, ultimately you have to come back to yourself and be honest about that, and to really, you know, to what when we hold on to the views of what is right, what is wrong, what is fair, what is not fair, and actually create lots of suffering for ourselves. And we be able to, if we be able to see that, then we don't hold on to that. So okay, if I get it, fine. I don't get it, fine too. So if I get it, bonus. If I don't get it, fine. You know, then you be happy. You become a happier person and not hold on to your views and opinions. You know, holding on to the views and opinions is only lead you to more suffering. So I offer this Swatama reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Just a point where you mentioned, Port Africa, about the women in the time of the Buddha going and asking the Buddha for ordination, and he refused, and it was Ananda who asked. Actually, I've heard some areas that's discredited, that the Buddha wouldn't have said that, because in the time after the Buddha's enlightenment, Mara came to the Buddha and asked him, and then the Buddha said that his goal was to have the fourfold assemblies. Yeah. So I've heard it say that that doesn't match up, and it would make no sense.
Yeah. And yes, I know that story. The Buddha said, because the Mara asked him that, you know, you since now you're enlightened, you better parinibbana. So the Buddha said, no, until I establish the fourfold, you know. So, but my point is just that, it's more on the point that when he asked whether women, if given the same opportunities, whether they also get enlightened. My point is more on that. You know, it's not so much on the story. You know, but I know there's a lot of people think that, you know, whether it's true, because the Buddha also did say that, you know, when he got enlightened, and the Mara said to him that, you know, since you're not got enlightened, you have nothing to do, you know, you have done your job, so you better, you know, just parinibbana, you know, just, you know, pass away. Then the Buddha said, no, I haven't established the fourfold assembly, that is monks, nuns, laymen and laywomen. Yeah, I think a lot of people been saying that is. But my point is more on that, if women giving the same opportunities, we also be able to get enlightened. It's just that we won't be giving the opportunities to do that. Because when we ordain the bhikkhuni ordination, the last part we said that the keeping the precepts, you purify your virtue to support your samadhi. So that's why for me is like, I'm only keeping more precepts. I just want to uphold the precepts. I'm not doing something that is harmful or hurting anyone else, you know. And I have the opportunities because of we are well supported. We've been especially very lucky here. with all the supports that we be able to keep the precepts. Because I know some monks and nuns, if they have no support and they have to, they're living by themselves, they have to go, you know, around, and that they need to teach, and they don't have the condition, they need, so they can't uphold the precepts. Sometimes I don't judge them, because I know it's difficult to uphold. But for us, like in the monastery, the way we set up the whole system is to be able to help us to keep the precepts. Like sometimes people ask me in the monastery, I say, if you stay in the monastery, it's very easy to keep the precepts. It's not difficult because they have no chance to break those rules because they have the system, how, you know, you abide to all the whole system, then it's not very likely that you break those rules, you know. That because the way we set up, but we are fortunate because we be able to do that. You have to have the condition to be able to do that. The reason why I take up the opportunities because I know that we've been supported, because I know that we be able to uphold our precepts. Because to me, it's not how many precepts that you keep. So even you have many precepts, you're not able to keep it. What's the point having so many precepts, isn't it? So if you have less, you keep it well, it's okay. If you've been a 10 precept nuns before that, we were keeping 10 precepts. If you keep it well, it's okay, isn't it? Rather than you have a lot, but you don't keep it well, you know? So to me, it's that because we have the opportunities, that the opportunity arises that time, and we be able to do that, we be able to uphold and live this life as a fully ordained nun. Okay. And my current work, I feel that it's harassment from management to female staff. The atmosphere is fear and intimidating. The management team and majority of staff are females. The male staff members are not treated the same way. What advice do you have for me on this issue, please? It's a difficult one. I think I don't really have any answer for that. I know that it's like, even for us, even we get to this point, they have bhikkhuni ordination, female have to work twice as much harder. It's true. Even before I come to the monastic life, even the same job, the same post, you know, the same position, a male and a female, you know, applying for the same job, actually, they require female more than the male. It's just a way of how the society, you know, is still, you know, and sometimes that is not, this is something that is, maybe you can develop mudita, just to say it's okay, you know, just to rejoice, you know, in. Of course, you see, it's very difficult to be treated the same way. Then it's happening outside all the time, and I don't really have answer for that, you know. I think if we learn to accept that, you know, to learn to make peace with that, you know, then that is the only way. That is how things is, you know. Sometimes like you can't really change things. So that's why I remember that when I first ordained, and yeah, and then of course, like, you know, you when you first ordained, you know, you still come with that big ego and you want your own way, because when you become monastic, you have to let go of your sense of self, you know. You cannot choose what you like, you cannot choose what you eat, you cannot choose what, you know. You're given the job, ask you to clean toilet, you clean toilet whether you like it or not, you know. You rather have to abide to all those rules, you know. And some, of course, sometimes with our ego, we fight, isn't it? You think that, oh, you know, we try to control, you know. Then I realized that, I said, you know, that I asked myself, that, you know, if you want to stay on, you just have to let go, just to accept, you know, that it's okay to let go of the sense of self. And I don't really have any answer for this, just to be honest. And Simon, it seems so many bad things have happened to me lately and it feels not fair. I don't want to feel this way. What action can I take to accept and get beyond feeling this? Yes, because sometimes when when any bad feelings that happen to us, that actually sometimes it's good that we just make peace with that feelings. And then to make peace with that, it's okay that I feel that way. Because whatever bad feelings we feel, we think that is wrong. We think that it's unfair. You know. But you know, you cannot avoid that, you know. Life is like that. Sometimes, you know, we are happy. Sometimes we are not happy. Sometimes we have good feelings. Sometimes we have bad feelings. If you be able to reflect on that, is things arises, will pass away. So even a wonderful feelings, good feelings, is going to cease, isn't it? It's not going to stay forever. The same thing, you know. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you have good feelings or bad feelings. Anyway, they're not going to stay, isn't it? Even you have wonderful feelings, good feelings, pleasant feelings, you think they're going to stay? You're not going to stay. So you reflect on impermanence, that non-self, you cannot beyond control, and rather learn to make peace with that. If you be able to make peace with how you feel, it's okay to stay. Because whenever the feelings that we don't like, the first thing we think that is unfair, why this happened to me, you know, and on and on and on. Sometimes it's always good that when you have these bad feelings, sometimes it's good that you pay attention to your body, your sensation feelings, whether your body is tight or tense, you know. And usually when there's unpleasant feelings, you know, normally your body is tight. So you just observe your tightness. Or another way you can help that, you do the breathing exercise. You do breathing in bad feelings, breathing out peace. So you embrace that bad feelings and you make peace with it. So then it will take your mind away. Because if not, your mind will latch on, you know, you go on and on and on. And then the more you think about it, you reinforce your feeling becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And this is how you take your mind away. So put your focus, attention onto your body, rather than, because this is how when we have bad feelings followed by thoughts, you know, then all the story we started to all the story lines, you know, we started to write books, you know, pages, you know, about these bad feelings. So actually, one of the ways to stop ourselves from that, bring your mind back to your feelings and sensation, that is one way. Another way you can do the breathing exercise, breathing in the anxieties or bad feelings or whatever feelings you feel, and breathing out peace. So when you do that, it's like a fire break. You take your mind away. So don't latch on, because how, like the fire ones, you know, it spread so quickly. So once we latch on to the when we have the bad feelings, the first thoughts, you know, that arises, you know, that moment, if we latch on to that, it go, you know, it's just a disease, you know, it spread, you know, it go on and on and on. So that to develop your mindfulness, you know, practice a present moment awareness, become more aware of that, not latch into the thoughts when you have this bad feelings or these unpleasant feelings. So learn to make peace with these unpleasant feelings. And the most effective way that actually if you stay with that unpleasant feelings, actually is the most effective way. You just sit there and stay with the feelings. And then eventually when these unpleasant feelings reach to the maximum points, it bound to subside. It will not keep going on and on and on. It won't. I remember the first time I say in the cave that I had experienced that I was really terrified. I was really so frightened that moment. I was so scared. I was so frightened, you know. I'm really terrified that moment. And my fear, my whole body. And actually, I just stayed that moment because I remember, because I read one of the suttas, is the Buddha's when he was still a bodhisattva, Satta, and then he went to he practiced in the forest, and fear arises. So the Buddha said, when fear arises, if you are walking, you keep walking. You are sitting, you continue to sit. If you are lying down, you continue to lie down. That time I was sleeping, and I was because I was so scared. Like I feel that someone watching me, and I use my blanket to cover my head, and I just stay like that. And I sit like that, I stay like that, I don't dare to move. So I stay like that, this position with that feelings of fear, very fearful. Then when my fear reached to the maximum point, actually it subsides. The moment the fear subsides, I feel really good. So peaceful and calm. So if you be able to say that, stay with that feelings is the best. Because not to run, because normally we tend to run away, distract ourselves, you know, and do something else, you know. The best thing is to face it, to stay with that feelings. When it's reached the maximum point, it's bound to subside. It won't keep going on. You're not going to go, you know. It will meet a certain peak, you know, and it subsides by itself. The moment it subsides, that is letting go, because you okay, you allow yourself to feel that way. You allow yourself to have that feelings. Actually, letting thing be is letting go. We let go. And the moment that subside, I was so peaceful, so calm. And I realized it's just because of the fear and then all the imagination you feel like. And then you know how I hear people coming towards me. Actually, it's just the leaves, the rustling of the leaves, you know, when the wind blow. Just the rustling of the leaf, you know. So I then... because of the fear, I perceive that, you know, someone coming, you know, but actually nothing. Then when the fear disappear, when the fear subside, then I hear, oh, actually just leave, no one there. And sometimes we ourselves create that, and we reinforce the feeling, become so strong, and that it's real. This is how I feel. Of course, you know, you keep reinforce, you feel that way. So the best is actually you be able to stay. Like sometimes if you feel upset, anger, whatever feeling, you just find a corner, just sit there. Just let it be. Just feel how you feel. Actually, that's the best way. And when that comes to the maximum point, the peak, and when it subsides, you feel very peaceful. Then after a while, if you know, you get more skillful, you become more skillful, and you start to develop your confidence, and then you know that it's going to go away. It's not going to stay forever. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, isn't it? It won't stay. Whatever feelings, it won't stay. Whether it's bad feelings or good feelings, it won't stay. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter at all. So that's three things you can try. You know, you can put your place attention onto your feelings, sensation, or you do the breathing exercise, or you just sit. Because sometimes you can't go away and find a corner to sit, then you can just stop. Even you are working, just do the breathing exercise. You know, breathing in, the bad feelings, breathing out, peace, breathing in. You know, because this take your mind away to latch on into the thoughts, you know, like a fire break, you know. Takes our minds away, and that's help. Many people, because when I suggest to this, some people have anxieties and they feel really anxious, and they said that they come back to me, they said this really works when they have the feelings, because normally followed by thoughts, you were thinking about it, you know, and then this is how the mind, you latch on and go on and on, but you bring your mind back to the breathing, so breathing in that feelings and breathing out peace. You embrace that feelings, you make peace with that feelings. So because when you said that to yourself, breathing in bad feelings, breathing out peace, actually that is that you just condition your mind and remind your mind to make peace with that feelings. You know? So it's just that you have that imprint in your mind that making peace with this is okay. I embrace these feelings. It's okay. So you can use this, and also you can observe your sensation and feelings, or you just, if you can, you just find a corner, a quiet place to just sit with that feelings. So that is also these are the three ways you can deal with your bad feelings. So any questions or comments? Yes. Can you give that?
Thank you, Venerable. It was a very, very practical, but very, I think, very helpful talk for all of us to you know, how to deal with these situations. Just by accident, I picked up a book tonight from the library. It's a free book, and it's all about the bhikkhuni ordination in the Theravada tradition. It's by Bhikkhu Bodhi and prefaced by Ajahn Brahm. So it's just, it's if anyone wants to find out more, it's a whole book, a free book at the library, in our library here.
Okay.
So thank you for tonight.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think that's M. Is there no questions? Yeah, there's another question.
Hello, thank you so much, Drew. I so appreciate and I so relate to what you were saying then as well. My question is, I guess, is how does it relate to karma, how you were talking about before, when things are seemingly going wrong in your life or you perceive it to be that way?
Okay. Because sometimes how we tend to identify what is our experience, what we think that things shouldn't be, and because of it come from our expectations, our craving, and then our views, you know, then how, and we like to identify our experience with how we feel. And we tend to label it. So actually there's no good or bad experience, because every single experience is an opportunity, a chance to learn and grow. There's not, because sometimes like things don't happen according to what we expected, because that actually we learn more, because sometimes what we expecting things to happen is something that we already know. When things happen that we don't know, then we think that it's wrong. Actually, it's not wrong. Actually, we learn something new. So it's okay. Then we say, oh, yeah, that is another way I learn something. You know, because sometimes we plan and plan and plan, we think that things should happen this way, you know, and then things doesn't happen. And then we think there's something wrong. Because sometimes what we plan for the future, how things should be, actually is all that what we know. When something outside what we know, then we think that is wrong. But actually it's not wrong. Actually we learn something new. So depends on your attitude. Depends on how you look at things. So there's no good or bad experience. I learn a lot, you know, like especially with our building project, you know. It's always something happen. For example, people say, oh yeah, your stay is so nice. Actually, there was a mistake. You know, because when they set up our retaining wall, it's supposed to be in line, the retaining wall, you know, and then there becomes the retaining wall, one this way, one this way. So it's supposed to be in line, our stair is go like that straight. Then it's ended up like that. So what we did, we make the stair this way, but it looks nice. You know, so then, you know, a lot of, and then people see, we have, people saw us, it's not the original design, it's just that there was something wrong, you know. Then what they do, we have to fix it. Then we put something there, and then people say, oh, very nice, you know, but actually it was a mistake. No, this is sometimes, you know, things don't go according to our ways, what we expected to be, it's not wrong, you know.
Thank you. That actually answers so much for me. I think I've had so much judgment on how it should be.
Yeah.
And then I've blamed myself that, oh, I must be a terrible person or whatever because this has happened or this has happened. Yeah. But that's probably just my perception.
Yeah. And we tend to identify and label our experience. But actually, it's not good or bad. It's just experience. And it depends on how you look at things, you know. There's always two ways of looking at things. You say, wow, I learned something new.
Thank you so much.
Okay, any more questions or comments? I have one more.
You were talking earlier about not trying to control people and like letting things go. What happens when you come across people who might be like really, really extreme in their views, like maybe hurtful to others, like racist and things like that? How do you approach things, situations like that?
Okay. Because for sometimes, for them, sometimes we can't change. It's very difficult to change them. So that's why we learn to change ourselves, to accept the person as the person is. Because the more we think that they shouldn't do this, it's not right, you know, and actually that we causes more suffering to ourselves because we can't do anything, even our own children, you know. Sometimes it's where we have to learn to let go. Like we have people come to me, the parents, that, you know, the children don't listen to them. I said sometimes you have to let them be. That is, you know, we just can't change them. You know, but if we go on and on thinking about how terrible the person is, actually we suffer. Because depends on how you look at it. If you come from a kind and compassionate, you know, if you come from a compassion to look at it, actually the person being abusive, actually the person have to bear the consequences of being abusive. Actually, they have lots of suffering. When you get angry, actually, it's very unpleasant. In fact, the person is suffering. When the person get angry, abusive, you know, actually, so depends on how you look at it, and then you see the suffering of the other person. So compassion is not that we pity this person, oh, terrible, you know. It's not about that. We understand that the person suffering. Actually, ultimately, the person have to bear the consequences of their own unskillful action. So that's why sometimes no point for us to get angry and upset with people that, you know, being abusive. So if you turn around to look at it, you know, in a compassionate way, that actually to see the suffering of that person. Is that answer your question? Okay. Any more questions or comments? No? Okay. So, okay, that's the end.